It's Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010, Election Day in America. I'm Albert Moeller, and this is The Briefing, a daily analysis of news and events from a Christian worldview. The midyear elections for 2010 come as Americans are quite ready for the election to be had and to be behind us. We've been experiencing a very intense political season in recent weeks and months, and of course, now as Americans go to the polls, the reality is that we're about to find out exactly how this government is going to be constituted for the next Congress. Now, as Americans go to the polls, all of the House of Representatives seats are up for re-election, 37 of the United States Senate seats out of 100, and 37 gubernatorial elections are going to be held in the states, with 16 of those governors ineligible for re-election. Now, what we've been witnessing in recent weeks is an unusually intense and very bitter political season, one that is of consequence and also one that's understandable in its context. A mid-year election is always a referendum on the party in power, especially the party that holds the White House. After the very significant political election, the presidential election of 2008 and the election of President Barack Obama, the stage was set for such a bitter and consequential race. But little did we know back in 2008 that fast-forwarding to 2010, we'll be looking at what pundits now are addressing and suggesting to be an overwhelming landslide for Republicans. But even as we're having this conversation, as Americans are going to the polls, we need to be reminded that sometimes the pollsters and the pundits get it wrong. There are plenty of predictions out there. I'm not about to offer predictions today. Instead, I think Christians should give primary attention to thinking about our political responsibility within this historical context. Elections are important. They deliver the voice of the people. In an ordered constitutional republic such as we enjoy, elections are the means whereby citizens exercise their franchise. And as Christians, we exercise a political responsibility that is never merely political. Now, historical context is also important. When we think of the mid-year elections, we recognize that these particular elections between presidential cycles are almost always about ideas. Now, thankfully, most election cycles are about ideas. Generally, in a presidential election, they are about big ideas. But the midterm elections are often a referendum on the ideas of those who have been in power. Not merely their ideas, of course, their character, their leadership, their performance, and all the rest. But after about 2 years in office, every administration is tried in terms of its governing philosophy. And that's where this administration, the Obama administration, finds itself in trouble. Of course, it's a larger issue for the Democratic Party. That party has held not only the White House for the last 2 years, but both houses of Congress. Therefore, the American people look to the Democrats as holding the primary levers of power for the last 2 years, and on that basis, they're making their judgments. Now, one of the things that Christians must always keep in mind is that politics is inherently partisan. It has been that way in the United States going all the way back to the colonial era, and it is that way now. Our first president, in his farewell address to the nation, may have warned about the development of a political system that would be fractured into different parties, but the reality is that over the last two centuries and more, the balance of power held by the Democrats and Republicans together has given a remarkable stability to this American experiment. It's not for nothing that the American Constitution is the longest-lasting constitutional government on earth. The government that was born within this constitutional system has a stability that often comes down to a politics that can be very inelegant. Elegant politics, neat and orderly politics, politics in which there is very little controversy or derision, well, that is the politics of a non-democratic system. Democracy is messy. Democratic politics are messy. Democratic elections are inherently messy, and campaigns just get messier and messier. One of the things we need to recognize as Christians is that since there is a partisan issue always at stake in the political equation, we need to understand that political parties will do what is understood to be in their own best interest. So when we're looking at an election morally, we need to recognize that political campaigns are represented by candidates and generally also by parties, each of whom, whether you're going to animate and individualize the party as a person or not, actually has a very specific agenda and very specific goals. That's one of the reasons why any electoral map is somewhat confusing. We have a situation in which this year, for instance, we have write-in candidates in at least a couple of states who've been prompted because of a disappointment on the party's leadership as the way that the primary went. We also have other developments which are of great interest. There's an historical context here. Looking back to, for instance, 1920, it was on this date that Warren Harding was elected President of the United States. In 1948, Harry Truman, on this date, was elected President of the United States. You'll remember that iconic photograph of President Truman holding up the headline that Dewey defeats Truman, when, as it turned out, it was Truman who defeated Dewey. Now, those two elections are reminders of how elections can go. In 1920, America wanted to return to normalcy. In 1948, America was surprised as the pollsters and pundits were proved to be wrong. Now, here we are. Americans are looking for a change of some sort. This midterm election is almost surely to be a course correction. What kind of course correction? Well, that remains to be seen. It is certainly not going to be a return to the kind of normalcy that Warren Gamaliel Harding promised in 1920. No, we're going to be entering into a season of divided government between the White House and at least one of the houses of Congress, perhaps both. Now, looking at the election of 1948, let's be reminded that that election turned out differently than almost everyone expected. We cannot have an adequate measure of political momentum. That's one of the reasons why there is still volatility in an election. That's also why it's still very important that every single citizen gets out to vote. Just because the pollsters say that a trend has an election in the bag doesn't mean that it is so. There are several issues of concern in this year's election. There are matters on the ballot that go beyond the election of candidates. There is Proposition 19 in California that would legalize the possession and sale of less than an ounce of marijuana. There is ballot issue number one in the state of Arizona that would actually put the nomination of judges in the hands of an elite rather than in the hands of the people. State by state, there are other very interesting proposals that are on the ballot. There are also some big issues that really are not on the ballot unless you take a closer look. For instance, the role of money in the political process. Over the last several decades, Congress and the courts, also activist groups, have entered into the picture trying to do their very best to push for campaign finance reform. Without doubt, even adjusted for inflation, this midterm election will be one of the most expensive in American history. We're looking at the average congressional seat now costing well over $1 million in terms of campaign costs. That's unprecedented. But if you're going to try to put a control on financing for campaigns, if you're going to try to put some kind of new policy and reform in place, you got to recognize there can be unintended consequences. The biggest of these unintended consequences is the fact that it takes a millionaire, indeed a multimillionaire, to run from any of these offices. Self-financed campaigns mean that the candidates who can actually run are the candidates who have their own money to spend. One of the things we're going to have to watch in this country is that we are not electing an oligarchy of those who can afford to run a campaign under prevailing campaign finance laws. There are a number of other issues we'll be watching in the course of the day. As I said, I'm making no predictions, but I will make one very safe prophecy, and that is we're going to have an interesting day, not only today, but in all likelihood, well into tomorrow as well. I was in Washington over the weekend. I had the opportunity to preach at Capitol Hill Baptist Church there right on the hill. I preached Reformation Sunday and had an incredible time there with my dear friend, Dr. Mark Dever, pastor, and with so many others. I was in Washington for this last weekend of the campaign. Of course, a lot of attention was given to the mall where Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert of Comedy Central were holding their big event. But I'll tell you what I found most interesting was what was on the smaller relational scale. One of the things we often do not think about is the human equation in all of this. Being in Washington over the last several days helped me to see this. Let's keep in mind that we need to hold our cynicism in check when we remember that all of the persons involved in these campaigns, especially the candidates and their families, are very real human beings. As we go to the polls today, let's pray for those who are running for office. Let's not only go to affect our vote because we know that ideas matter and principles are our primary concern, and we want to elect persons to office who will uphold righteousness and do what is right. Let's remember to pray for all of those who are running for office in terms of their personal stake in all of this. Every one of them has family, loved ones, and friends whose hopes and dreams are riding on them. You know, in Washington, there's a permanent government of literally thousands, indeed tens and tens of thousands of workers. Many of them are sitting in offices and will be watching returns carefully over the next day and over the next course of hours in order to see not only how the election turns out, but whether they or their loved ones have jobs. We are accustomed to speaking of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat in the field of sports, but those same thrills and those same agonies are found in the world of politics. Now, I for one believe that in politics the stakes are much higher, and indeed the urgencies are much greater. But it's good that we be reminded that this is a human equation. These are very real human beings. Some will experience that thrill of victory tonight. Some will experience the agony of defeat, and others may experience the excruciating reality of uncertainty. Let's hope that's kept to a minimum. Now, this doesn't mean that there's any way that we can avoid this. That's what happens in a democracy. There is a winner and there is a loser. If there are multiple candidates, only one can be elected. That's the way the system works, and there is no apology for the system. In a fallen world, this is about the best that we can do. But we need to remember that human equation. We'll be watching on television as some will be giving victory speeches tonight, and some will be making those concession calls, the call that literally no one wants to make. Elections really do matter. For instance, the sanctity of human life is always on the ballot after Roe v. Wade, and until we reach some consensus that protects unborn human life. Other issues are always on the ballot. Economics are front and center this year, according to just about everyone who's been listening to the campaign. But we need to keep in mind that there are few things with as much moral importance as economics and how we order an economic system. We'll be watching the elections with you. We'll be talking about it all tomorrow. This is an opportunity for Christians to bring an intelligent Christian perspective to something that the entire world is talking about at your workplace today, on your college campus, or wherever you may be found. Let's be ready to have an intelligent conversation about this election as we go to the polls and do what's right. Thanks for listening to The Briefing. For more information, go to my website at albertmohler.com. For information on the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, go to sbts.edu. You can follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/AlbertMohler. I'll be back tomorrow with The Briefing.